church just before we go any further. And last week that was bad news. Well, good news maybe, because I started doing some announcements and I started to preach. And I didn't preach the message that the Lord gave me, which is fine, because I believe that you heard what God had for you. This morning I want to just speak about a few things. I believe we were praying in the back there. And we were praying about deception. There's a couple of deceptions. And I thought, oh, should I speak about it? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? But the reality is, if you leave deception, you allow the enemy to have his way. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Amen? Amen? So tonight, we are going to have a movie night. And I want to invite you all. Now, why do I say there's deception here? Well, the first thing is, why did we call the movie nights? Because we're too lazy to prepare a sermon? Amen? Maybe I am? No. We actually started calling the movie nights because we felt it was a tool that God could use, that we could use to invite people to the church. People who wouldn't normally come to a sermon, to listen to a sermon, they will come and watch a movie. Amen? And we started making popcorn, but when you make popcorn for the church, it takes the whole afternoon. So this time when I invited you, I said, make your own popcorn and bring it. Right? I was lazy. I'm telling you the truth. Right? But now you get the deception. The deception is this. It's not safe to go out at night. Especially if you're an older person or a woman. So I want to break that deception right now. Okay? We've got services that take place in the weekend in the church. We've had evening services over the years. That beeping's from outside, eh? We've got a Bible school. Up to recently, 80 students coming at night. This parking lot is full. They park outside. They park at the back. It's full up. We've got a prayer meeting and a youth meeting, and we have band practices. I can tell you, and I just absolutely can't remember, maybe many years ago somebody filled with a car on the street here. I cannot tell you when last it was. I can tell you right now that it is safe to come to church on a Sunday night. Why? Because God protects you. Amen. So that is a deception and a lie from the pit of hell that you cannot come out at night. Amen? Either that or it's an attitude of heart. Right? But I think it's a deception. And there's a couple of other deceptions that we need to deal with. There's another deception. Thinking that there's enough people at the prayer meeting. I will leave it to them because they are prayers. I can't pray. I'm not good at praying. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Can you speak? If you can speak and have a conversation with me, then you can have a conversation with God, because that's exactly what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. Amen? So, I can't come out. It's dark. It's night time. I'm not going to go back there. I spoke to you about it already. And there's a couple of other deceptions. Amen? Somebody else will work in the church. Somebody else can go and teach in the children's church. It's not for me. It's a deception. I spoke to some of the people last. I joked about it. And fortunately, I don't think I caused offense when I said a lot of our older folk, our pensioners, are waiting to go in the wall. I didn't mean to be insulting about it, okay? And at least they can laugh about it. But if you're a pensioner, don't sit down or lie down or wait to die. I can speak from experience. My dad retired. And that was it. He sat and he read. That was all he did. And he died too early. I honestly believe he died because he lost the zeal for life. And as a pensioner, you are in a place where you are in an ideal position to be used in the kingdom of God. Because you've got time on your hands. So it's a deception to say, I'm beyond that. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And this morning we cut off all of that deception. And there was something else that we prayed about, but I can't remember it. So I'm not going to go there. I want to invite you. Conrad, when he made the announcement about Friday's pray and stay, that I felt was what we will call it. Patsy said I deceived her. She said, you're so clever. Because she came and spoke to me. She said, you know, in the past, I've been used by the Lord. And you know, we've had meetings like a cell meeting, but not a cell meeting. We people get together in fellowship and we talk and we pray for one another. And it's wonderful. And that very morning, I'd been praying, and I felt the Lord put in my heart, breakfast club. And I was thinking about the pensioners, and maybe once a month, we can have a breakfast club at the church, and have some fellowship, and I'll share a teaching. But the very same day, Petra came to speak to me. And I felt, well, maybe this is where we're going. So we spoke about it. And Peter said, but I'm not a great prayer. I said, don't worry. We'll give you the guys the stuff to pray about, and the people around you will pray. Because that's what a prayer meeting is. It's not for one person to pray all the time and everybody say, amen, amen, amen. Prayer meeting is where people pray. When somebody's praying, you listen to what they're saying. You stand in agreement with them, where we agree on one thing. That within God can move. Okay? So what we're going to do is we're inviting, it's not from 10 to 10:30, it's 10 to 11:30, so it's an hour and a half. And the idea is to come and pray, and then after a while, break for some tea and coffee and fellowship, and then go back and pray for another half an hour or so. And we thought that that will be something that particularly the pensioners or the housewives or anybody that's available can enjoy. I don't know, does that appeal to you? Would that appeal to you if you were somebody that's not working? Think about it. The first Friday that we're going to have it is this coming Friday. 10 o'clock here at the church. I will be there to check that Patsy behaves. Because I know she can't behave. Another deception, sorry, it came to me, is about the services. And as I look at the clock, I realize that, well, we're behind time. But I've heard, and I'm going to address it right now, it's a deception and a lie from the pit of hell, that the services are too long, that the praise and worship is taking too long. I want to tell you that as long as I can remember, our services started at 9 o'clock in the morning and finished at quarter to 11, or between quarter to 11 and 11 o'clock. Do you know that in the last year since I took over, nothing's changed? The praise and worship is the same. We've actually shortened it because we greet in the morning. So we actually only start about quarter past 9. And the praise and worship is generally finished by 10 to 10. So that's about 35 minutes. Do you know in Pastor Ted's day we used to sing for an hour? We did. And we've shortened it. And generally the services, the actual preaching, is between 30 minutes and 40 minutes. So it's not that long. It's a deception from the pit of hell when you say they're preaching too long, they're speaking too long. And I want to say, we're in church for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Many people, that's the only church they get in the whole week. Is that enough? I know, I'm not going to harp on it. I don't think I need to. That being said, so please hear me when I say I'm not trying to beat you up or manipulate you. I just want to make it clear that, you know, when these things creep in, we need to deal with them. Otherwise, one person's talking about it, and then another one, and then the entire congregation's complaining. No, the service is too long on a Sunday morning. I know of churches where they're in and out in an hour. We cannot have a fast food culture in our Christianity. It doesn't work. You cannot have a fast food culture in your quiet time church. You will starve. You'll get too much fat. You'll build up cholesterol around your heart, and you'll have a spiritual heart attack. It's going to end in disaster. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's get into the message this morning. Do you love Jesus? Amen. Did you hear the encouraging word this morning? Did you sense that God loves you? Even in the songs we sang, God loves us. He loves us. He loves us in an amazing way. In Revelation, Jesus says this to the church. Oh, I see my picture didn't get up. And it's on the board there. The title of the message this donkey meal. The title of the message this morning is Matters of the Heart, like last week. But this one is How to Fall Deeper in Love with Jesus. Matter of the Heart, when we think of the heart, we think of love. How to fall deeper in love with Jesus. But in Revelation 3 verse 20, Jesus says to the church, see, I stand at the door and knock. If you open, I will come and eat with you and you with me. And then again, we read in Revelation 2 verse 2 to 4, it says, I know your works. This is talking about the church. They're doing the right things. Your labor, your patience, and that you can't bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they're not. You found them to be a fake. You have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience. Those are great characteristics for children of the living God. And you have labored for my name's sake. And you have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have lost your first love. And then he says, go back and fix it up. Because if you don't, I'm going to take your lampstand away. Can you imagine that? Imagine losing the presence of God. Imagine losing his anointing in your life. So, those are obviously problems that the church faced. Number one is, Jesus is standing at the door wanting to come in, but the door's not open. And the other one is, the people think they're doing all the right things. That's the one. Thank you, Emil. The people think they're doing all the right things, but somehow or another they're missing that first love. And no, I'm not going to stand here this morning and beat you up about the fact that you've lost your first love. It's not what I'm here for this morning. This morning, I want to speak to you about how do we fall deeper in love with Jesus? How do we prevent this from happening? What is the answer? Because we all need to know it. We all need to know, how do I live a life that grows? How do I live this life that I don't get so used to doing the same old, same old, same old, same old, that I kind of start taking my Christianity for granted. And the reality is, when I look again, I'm a little bit cold. How do I keep the fire burning? That's what this morning's message is about. So, to start that, I want to just talk to you about a human relationship. Because that's kind of our starting point. That's what you'll identify with. What does our relationship look like? A human relationship. What does falling in love look like? Come on, youngsters, you can tell us. Okay? Mace nester is the word that comes to mind. Who knows what mace nester is? When you fall in love, yeah, Erica, Conrad did that to you, didn't he? Couldn't think straight, nor could Cheryl. Can't think straight. Can't focus on work. Thinking about that person that you're in love with. Your father says, ach, man, don't do that. Be careful. Watch that you don't fall too deep. Way too late, because jy is diep in die verliefde. And my Afrikaans is verkeerd this morning. Falling in love says, you look at that person and zoop, you gale up in your tummy. You get butterflies. Falling in love says the people around you get so sick and tired of you speaking about he did, or she did. You know, that person's all you can speak about. They're the apple of your eye. They're the one that fills your heart. They're the one that makes your heart go skippity, skippity, skip. Amen? Isn't that true? That's what love's all about. You speak on the phone. And when the conversation, I remember Cheryl and I, when the conversation is over, all right, my sweetie, you say goodbye. No, you say bye. No, you say bye. 5 minutes later, come on, you say bye. No, you say bye. 10 minutes later, and your father's saying, hey, I'm paying the phone bill. Amen? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Can you remember that? Who's experienced that? Yeah, you youngsters thought we don't understand love, did you? Yeah. Every moment you're apart seems like a lifetime. If you know, Cheryl and I was in school. I was 16. She was 17. We lived miles apart. Couldn't wait for the weekends. Our parents' lives were turned upside down. Until we became parents, we never realized it. Because she lived in Emerentia and I lived in Florida. And one day, my parents would have to take me to her. And next day, her parents would have to bring her to me. And you know, they made such a sacrifice for us. Because we were in love and we wanted to know nothing else. Amen. That's what love is all about. That's what first love is all about. When you just want to be with that person, you kind of, everything else becomes a blur. Nobody else is important. Just that person. And let somebody say something about them. Dan is daar moeilikheid. Amen. I hope it's still the same. I hope it's still the same for you. In your relationship with your husband, your spouse, your wife. I hope it's still the same. Do they still make your heart flutter? Amen. Cheryl can still make my heart flutter. And I think I can do it. I've got to just work hard at it because I'm not the handsome character I used to be. I'm speaking a bit tongue-in-cheek this morning. How do we fall in love? I'm going to read this in case I miss it. We're often initially attracted to one another in a physical manner. Hey, he's such a hottie, or she's such a hottie. Okay, oh, should I even be saying that in church? But we think they are just the best specimen of mankind. Amen? But it goes deeper than that, because that's purely physical. And genuine love goes far deeper than just the physical. The physical must remain. Okay?
Mrs. Williams, I'm pulling in my tummy just for you.
You must see me when we're alone. I will not say anything else. Right. She's blushing. So am I. All right. All right. Oh, sometimes I'm scared I overstep the boundary, but I'm trying to paint a picture for you here. Then the more we find out about them, the more we love them, isn't it? The more you find out about that one you love, the more you love them. You start loving characteristics. You start loving things about them. You see their hearts. You see what they love, what they desire, and you can understand it. You can see it. Then the relationship goes stronger, and you get to the point, I was going to say this before I said that, but I'm first going to say this. You get to the point where you get married. And then there's a sexual relationship, an intimate, there's a sexual intimacy there. Oeh, ons is in die kerk, mag mos nie gesê. But Conrad did it the other night, so he gave me permission to speak about that. But I'm not going to go into the depths of it. But there's a physical attraction which extends into a sexual relationship. Amen? And you start loving every part. Why are you blushing like that, Brandon? Okay, I'm not going to go any further. But that's got to be in marriage, because outside of marriage, it's out of place, isn't it? Right, because then what we're saying is, I'm now not committed to one person. I'm keeping the door open so I can do that with somebody else. Right? We learn how to please the one we love. We learn what pleases him and what makes them mad. And sometimes, when we forget how much we love them, we use that thing that makes them mad to make them mad because we're mad at them. Isn't that so stupid, eh? We learn the things that please them. And we become like one. You see, the risk is this. And I've given you a very small example. There can be many other things. We love the way, you know, Conrad preached about out of Song of Songs. And we'll study that in the starting on next Monday week with a booklet. We'll work through Song of Songs, Solomon or Song of Songs. But Conrad read about it. And as Solomon describes this woman that he's in love with, man, he talks about her neck and her breasts and her thighs and her hair. Everything about her is just absolutely beautiful. He's enthralled with her. Amen? And that is what a love relationship is really about. But sometimes we allow things to get in the way. And as time passes, and it's just so with the Lord, time passes and we start taking the person with for granted. They're just there. And we get busy with church, and busy with work, and busy with the children, and then there might be a hobby in the way, and then we're interested in doing this, and we're building a house, and there's all sorts of things that get in the way. And who's ever heard a couple say, we just started passing each other like ships in the night, and then the love was gone, and we got divorced. Amen? That happens. It's a reality. It happens in relationships. And we need to be so careful of that. But it's exactly the same with the Lord. In our relationship with Jesus, there's got to be that intimacy. There's got to be that fellowship. There's got to be that, what do I love about Him? What is it that excites me about going and reading the Bible? What is it about that excites me about spending time in His presence? And unless we focus on that thing, we're going to lose it. I'll tell you something else about the relationship. You want to be together. You love spending time together. And when you're not enjoying that time together, when you're not hungry for that time together, you must know that you're in trouble. Something's missing. Something's got out of place. There's a wedge that's gotten into that relationship that's busy breaking it down. We need to make sure that we take the right steps to make sure that the sizzle doesn't become a fizzle and fizzle out. We need to keep the sizzle in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen. We need to watch that relationship. Because otherwise, just like a marital relationship that fails, our relationship with Jesus will fail. And that is why Jesus said to them, you've lost your first love. You're doing all the things, but the things are making you walk past me like a ship in the night. Or here I am. I want to spend time with you, but the door to your heart is closed. I can't have that fellowship with you. I want to come in. Let's have a meal together. Who of you husbands or wives have invited your spouse to go out for a meal lately? When last did you go and enjoy a meal together? A romantic meal together? Shirley and I have started going out for coffee quite regularly. It doesn't help our waistline. But it is very good for our relationship. And we sit and we chat and we hold hands. And we just love being together. You need to do that. Even if you can't afford it. Even if you can't afford it, you can do something special at home. You know what I thought? I was reading this thing about a couple and showing love for one another. Sometimes it takes. Sweetie, I hope I apply this in my life. Sometimes it takes having the right to be able to kind of complain about something because the other one has done it wrong, and choosing not to. Choosing to just overlook it. That is an act of love. Sometimes you just let it be. Those things that irritate. Amen? The stuff, I won't say it. But the things that irritate, so they say something and you normally go off the handle. Just keep quiet and go and give them a hug and love them. That's an act of love. Amen? Right. So our relationship with Jesus is not the kind of relationship we'd have with a husband and a wife. But yet the Bible describes us as the bride of Christ. So we can compare the relationship. It's a spiritual relationship and a physical relationship because we love Him with every fiber of my being. We should love Him with every fiber of our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. Amen. So it's more than just spiritual. It's physical and spiritual. And there's a song with these words. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. We sing it sometimes, I think. We haven't sung it, but most of us know it. It's a Hillsong song, I think. But then there's a very old song that you guys don't know. But it goes like this. My granny taught me, sweeter as the days go by. Do you know it? Sweeter as the days go by, reach a fuller deeper. Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Are you experiencing that? Well, if you're not, we need to say, Lord, help me to see how I can make this love that I've got for you grow sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Because really, that is what Jesus is. The more we know Him, the more we love Him. You can't but love Him more and more as you get to know Him more and more. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, this is a well-known scripture. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Remember in those days the mirrors were dull. They weren't mirrors like we got today. They are a clear reflection. They were like just a shiny piece of metal. They needed to be shone up every now and again so that you could see clearly in them. And this is talking about beholding as in an old-time mirror. It's kind of a dull, it's a dull picture. But it says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. God will allow us to grow deeper and deeper in love with Him. Our love relationship with Jesus can go from glory to glory. Amen. And that's the way it is. That's the way God wants it to be. He wants us to grow in relationship. In the love book, which we're going to be studying, Song of Songs, it contains some keys. And that's what I want to share. I'm going to share with you 5 points. It's not the only 5 points in Song of Songs. But these are the points that I felt, and I spent a long time preparing this message. I felt, Lord, show me these things that we can use as treasures and as guides and as helps to help us to grow deeper in love with Jesus. I just want to share something that I did on Wednesday morning. The Lord has been dealing with me, and no, I haven't slipped away from Him. I haven't backslidden. But sometimes you realize, I can be deeper. I want to be deeper. I want to be in a deeper place. And you know what I did? I don't know if I've ever done this before. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I want to be like that day of my first love. Therefore, Lord, I know You're my Lord and Savior, but today I give You my heart again. I invite You to be the Lord and Savior of my life once again. I invite You to come and take full control of my life. I need to love You with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I recommit my life to You. And every day since, I've been praying, Lord, will You, I just want to fall in love with You all over today. Will You help me? I cannot tell you the change. There's something happening in me. It's causing a change in me. It's causing a softness. It's causing me to love Cheryl more. I realize this. I'm having to watch the time, but I will get there. I realized this, not on Wednesday, but sometime previously, I read the scripture that says, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Amen? And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I thought about that. How can I love the Lord with all my heart and still love Cheryl? Or still love you? Or still love some of the things that I love? How is it possible? It's impossible. And will I ever be able to love God the way He wants me to love Him? And I left it with the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. Will you show me? And a while later, I don't even know when it was, I started to realize this. That when I love the Lord with all my heart, when there's no space for anybody else, even my wife, in my heart. It's a tough statement, isn't it? But when there's no space for any of that, and all of my love is focused at the Lord, through that love for the Lord will flow the love for everybody else. God will enable me. That is why it's the most important commandment. Because that love for Jesus that fills my heart will flow out. The outworking of that love will mean I can love my spouse better than I ever did before. It will mean that I can love you as our congregation more than ever before and my family. It will even mean I can love some of the things I do. Amen? Because my priorities, my focus, my love is focused in the right place. So I don't have to say, Lord, I'm giving you 99.7% of my heart. But 0.3, Lord, I only ask for this, 0.3%, because I need to love Cheryl. No, I cannot actually love her properly unless I'm loving Jesus with 100% of my heart. Isn't that amazing? Can we give the Lord praise for that? So even though it seems though He's demanding that which is impossible, with God there's always a way. And that was an amazing blessing to me. So 5 points that we can learn out of Song of Songs that will teach us to love Him more and more sweeter as the days go by. The first one is to only have eyes for Him. As His bride, Jesus only has eyes. Do you know that He only has eyes for us? Can you imagine a bridegroom standing in the front of the church? I don't know when last we had a wedding in the church. It's about time. Children. that just came to mind. But I remember standing in front, and you turn around, and you see your bride come walking down the aisle. Sure, that's your heart, boy. It's so exciting. And Jesus is like that. We are His bride. You know what? He's brought us a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful wedding dress. It's called a robe of righteousness. He paid for it with His own blood. Amen. Doesn't that make you think of Him in a loving manner? Amen. He only has eyes for us. And if I take Song of Solomon, which is a picture of Christ and the church, as well as a picture of a marital relationship. Song of Solomon 2 verse 2 to 3. Have you got your Bibles here? I hope you do. Open it up in Song of Solomon. You can just stay there. Now this morning I might go and I spoke about the deception about the long services. Well, I only started preaching at 10 past, okay? I'm going to try and get this done. But if not, I'm going to ask you to have patience so I can just get through it. But it shouldn't take too long. Right, Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. And I've got the New Living Translation. I'm going to just say this so that you know who's talking. Him, that's Solomon. He says to her, like a lily among the thistles is my darling among young women. Think about that. We've got the saying, like a rose amongst the thorns. Men, what's going to stand out? The thorns. Not a chance. That beautiful rose. When Solomon looked at her, he saw her like a lily among thorns, among thistles, horrible things. He sees the beauty. All he's got to ask for, he doesn't want to look at the thorns. He wants to look at that beautiful lily. And then she responds in kind. She says, like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover among the other young men. She's only got to ask for him. When she looks at all the other young men, all she sees is her finest apple. He is the pick of the crop in her eyes. Ladies, next time you want to woe your husband, you can tell him, when I look at you, my love, you are like the finest apple in the orchard. And men, we will respond to our wives and say, my darling, beautiful wife. You are my lily among the dorings. Amen. Right. We should only have eyes for that one. It's because, you see, if we want to stay in love with Jesus, we've got to keep our eyes on Him. Otherwise, we look at this thing we want to do, that thing we want to do, and we look at our love, and we look at the things that other things that become important, and we take our eyes off of Jesus. But when we make Him our sole focus, I love you with all of my heart, we will grow more and more and more in love with Him because we're not being distracted. We're seeing Him as the lily amongst the thorns. We're seeing Him as the apple of choice. And you know what He says about us? My child, you're the apple of my eye. Isn't that amazing? He loves us. So both of them see each other as standing out. When Jesus looks at us, just know this, church, when He looks at us, He sees us as standing out. He doesn't see us as rubbish. He doesn't see us as vile sinners. He sees us as beautiful. I mean, to the person next to you and say, Jesus sees me beautiful. Think about the Israelites. Remember last week I spoke about the manna. They started to despise the manna and they wanted the pots of Egypt. What do you think happened to their love for God when they started to despise the manna? They said, this God, He's brought us here to kill us in the wilderness. That's not at all. The manna was lovely. It was sweet. It was great for the taste. It fed them. It sustained them. It was miraculous. They wanted to walk away from the miraculous back to the worldly. Come on. But we are like that. And then I got the saying, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Amen? But we can get like that. We need to keep our focus on Jesus. Are we, sir? This is my challenge. Are we straining our necks and looking around at all the distractions? And Satan is so good at putting them there, isn't he? He lays them on our paths. Or have we only got eyes for Jesus? Is He the key? Is He the center? We sing the song, Jesus in the center of it all. If we keep our eyes on Him, we will gaze upon His beauty and be enthralled. It will enthrall us as we look at Jesus. In Psalm 16 verse 8 it says this, and I took the New International Version because I like the way it says it. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I keep my eyes always on Him. But there's a blessing for that, because with Him at your right hand, you won't be shaken. As we keep our eyes on Him, our love for Him will not be shaken. Our love for Him will not go backwards. Jesus won't need to say, but you've lost your first love. Or stand at the door. The door's going to be wide open and say, Lord, here I am. Come anytime you like. Whose door is open this morning? Is your door open? The second point I want to. So the first point is this. Only have eyes for Jesus. Secondly, be captivated by His love. In chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. He escorts me to the banquet hall. Wouldn't you love to be on Jesus' arm and He's walking with you into the feast? See, I knock at the door. He says, here I am, I'm waiting to come and feast with you. Here's my arm, come, put your arm in mine. That's what He's saying to us this morning. And then He escorts me to the banquet hall. It's obvious how much He loves me. Church, are you aware how much Jesus loves you? It's obvious how much He loves me. Amen. Strengthen me with raisin cakes. Refresh me with apples, for I am weak with love. We are weak at the knees, girls. Kirsty. I just wanted to pick on Shay. Weak at the knees with love. Strengthen me with apples. You know why? Because He captivated her. She was enthralled with His love. And we need to come to that place where we are enthralled with the love of Jesus Christ. David was great at it. David was great at it. How do we get enthralled with the love of Jesus Christ? We meditate on how good He is to us. We meditate on His blessings. I've started praying. When we pray in the morning, Cheryl and I wake up early and pray for the church, as you know. But I've started, instead of just asking, bless this one and help that one, I start saying, Lord, You're so beautiful. Thank You so much for a warm bed. Thank You that I can afford to a hot shower just now. Thank You that Cheryl loves me. Thank You, Lord, for our church. Thank You, Lord, that You feed us and that we've got health. Thank You, Lord, for our salvation. Thank You for Your precious blood that cleanses me. Thank You that You forgive me. As we start focusing on that, we love Him more and more. David was very good at it. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 6. You have searched me and known me. He's quoting what he knows about God. You've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my way. When you love somebody, they understand the way you think. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and lying down. You know when I'm not feeling so good. And are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. We can finish each other's sentences, can't we? You have hedged me behind and before. Not only does he love us, but he protects us. And laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge, listen to this. Lord, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It almost takes my breath away. I can hardly bear to understand how much you love me. It's too wonderful for me. It blows my mind. That's what David was so good at it. He pondered it. How else can we respond to that kind of love? Except by saying to Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, I love you more and more every single day. When we focus on how much he loves. So let us allow ourselves to be captivated by. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you sense, even as I preach this morning, I can sense that love for Christ welling up in me. It's an excitement. I love him. I love him. Do you love Jesus this morning? Are you growing in love with him? Thirdly, we need to realize, and this is a tough one. We need, because we're so hard on ourselves sometimes. We judge ourselves so hard sometimes. And it's not a bad thing that we judge ourselves. But sometimes there's this whole thing of, I'm not good enough. This point is that we need to realize that Jesus wants us with him. Do you know that Jesus wants you with him? He wants you to be with him. One of the best experiences in a relationship is knowing that the other person wants to be with you. And I spoke to Cheryl about this on Friday, and she did it to me on Friday. In fact, she did it to me again yesterday. She often phones me. She knows what time I come home, and sometimes I sit there, and I just work, or I'm busy with something, and I don't come home. Then I get a phone call. Where are you? What are you doing? What are you up to? Yesterday, they had a fun day at the church where Cheryl works, and I said I'm coming at Opus 12. And I went home after cycling and I had a Bible study. And well, I was with my love. And he was teaching me out the word and I was enjoying it. So I ran a bit late. So then, where are you? And when I got there, I walked in. She was there at the gate waiting for me. And she was happy to see me. I realized that she's not nagging me. She's not checking up on me. She's saying, where are you? I'm missing you. I want you. I want you to be with me. I want to spend time with you. I'm looking forward to being with you. And Jesus is like that. He doesn't say, oh, you vile sinner, I don't want to be with you today. He's saying, where are you, my love? I can't wait for that time with you. Remember that song that Jim Reeves sang? I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God, I don't know if you got the right one, discloses, and he walks, sing with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's the kind of love relationship that your King wants you. Church, we need to fall in love again. Amen? Amen? We need to fall in love again. He's saying, come fall in love with me. I love you so much. That's what he's saying to us this morning. Natural reaction when Cheryl calls me is that, I must hurry up and pack up. I want to be with her. Amen? And I'm not fabricating this. We love each other. Our children will tell you. Those of you who know us in the church will have seen it. Amen? We love to be together. We love each other. I'm getting emotional here. It's the same with Jesus. In Song of Solomon 2 verse 8 to 10 it says this. I hear my lover coming. He's leaping over the mountains. Bounding over the hills. What man can do that? It's Jesus coming. My lover is like a swift gazelle. Now she's describing him that way. Or a young stag. Look, there he is behind the wall. looking through the window, peering into the room. My lover said to me, "Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one." Can you see the romance there? He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He's going to find the door closed. But they're playing a flirtatious game as well. Oh, how can I think about the Lord in those ways? Because he's peering through the window. He's looking, where is she? Jesus looks fast. He's saying, "Where are you, my love? Come. Come, let's go away. Let's spend some time, my fair one." Do you think I'm talking rubbish? Is this exciting you this morning? Are you just waiting for me to finish preaching so you can go home and spend some time with the one who thinks you're his fair one? He wants us to fall in love with him. He's given us everything. Sorry, Mark, you're going to have to lose out on Corin for a while when you get home, okay? He's looking at our hearts, calling us and saying, "Come on, come walk with me. I want to be with you." He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. That is the love relationship that Jesus wants to have with us. We need to realize, this is the fourth point, that Jesus sees us as beautiful beyond words. Think about how you feel. Sometimes we, with our spouse, we forget to tell them that we appreciate them or they love them, or we think that they look attractive. Sometimes wrinkles come and gray hairs come and we don't look so good anymore. But you know, the spouse that you married fell in love with you. You know, as we age, it's the grace of God. We don't see each other as getting older because we age together. So we still see each other as beautiful. But sometimes we need to say it. Sometimes I need to hear Cheryl say, "I think you've got a gorgeous face." Okay. Sometimes Cheryl needs to hear me whisper in her ear. Sometimes. Come now, contain yourselves, church. Sometimes Cheryl needs to hear me say, "I still think you got the most beautiful eyes. Your lips, they're like honey to me. I can't wait to embrace you because you feel so good in my arms." And you might think I'm being quite graphic. I want to be graphic this morning. Because sometimes we need to hear the Lord say, "I love you, my child. You're beautiful to me." And you know what he says this? Look here, Song of Solomon. This is what the young man says. That's representative of Christ. In 4 verse 1, the first half. "You are beautiful, my darling. Beautiful beyond words." Isn't that awesome? Amen. He sees us as beautiful beyond words. Other places in the Bible, we are described as the apple of his eye. He sees us so beautiful that he was willing to go to the cross to pay so he could have us. I mean, that tells us how much the Lord loves us. We need to realize that Jesus sees us as beautiful beyond words. But the world has taught us that when I do something wrong, I'm hated. When I do something wrong, all I'm good for is punishment. When I do something wrong, all I'm good for is to have my partner turn their back on me and not talk to me for 3 days. I want to tell you, Jesus is not like that. He loves us. If I get it wrong, and yes, I do get it wrong, and if I sin and I repent and I confess and I ask him to forgive me, immediately that relationship is restored. Immediately. Because Jesus does not hold a grudge. Amen. And we can learn that. Men and women, husbands and wives, this rubbish of not talking to our spouse for days on end, come on, that's not what Jesus is like. And we are told to become imitators of Christ. Forgiveness. How many times? He wasn't even talking about the spousal relationship. He was, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. How many times should you be forgiving your spouse? 700 times 7? Or the same thing? But we get mad. We don't want to talk to them, and the relationship goes down the toilet. That's not God's way. Amen. And in the same way, we need to see Jesus as loving us. And what is the Bible, what did Paul write? He said, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church." Amen. If Jesus doesn't hold a grudge, then who are we? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about falling in love with Jesus. So we can fall more in love with him because we know that he loves us. And then finally, the fifth point is we do what it takes to keep that love alive. What do we need to do to keep that love alive? And this is the young woman speaking. Song of Solomon 7 verse 10, chapter 7 verse 10 to 12. I am my lover's. Listen to the statement. She says it aloud. When last, Conrad, when last did you tell somebody, I belong to Erica, I love her. Sorry, I'm just picking on you because I picked on a lot of other people. She's mine. I love her. And I know she loves me. I often tell people how precious my wife is. I do it behind your back, my darling, you don't know. In a good way. I'm my lover's and he claims me as his own. Come, my love, she's saying to him. Let us go out to the fields and spend the night among the wildflowers. Men, learn from this. Ladies, learn from this. Let us get up early and go to the vineyards and see if the grapevines have budded, if the blossoms have opened, if the pomegranates have bloomed. There. Okay, let me just stop right there. She says, let us come see. What difference is it going to make if the stuff is bloomed? There's no fruit there yet. You're not going there to pick the stuff. It's an excuse to get them there. Because you want to spend some time with them in that place. Ooh, it smells like a yeah, it's romantic. Amen. What are we doing? Are we making excuses to go out and spend time with Jesus? Are we making excuses? Or does that fit in our quiet time and that's the only time in the day? We've boxed him in. God, I've given you that time of my day. We need to learn to see the beauty. We see a sunrise on the way to work. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. We see the sunset on the way home. Wow, Lord, that's awesome. Amen. Just an example. And then she goes on to say, there I will give you my love. So I'm going to take you to that place and I'm going to give you my love there. What do? We declare that we belong to Jesus. We look for excuses to spend time. Who of us have looked for an excuse to find time with Jesus? Eh? When last did we do that? We get up early and give him our love. We give him our love. I'm not one of those that says you can't have a list of questions for the Lord. Because David said, I get up early and make my request known. But there's got to be more than that. We've got to give him our love. We've got to tell him we love him. We've got to spend time and study his word. Say, oh Lord, your word is just so beautiful. It's so full of treasure. Yes, Lord, I've got needs. These are my needs. I love you, Lord. So there's got to be a balance. Amen? Song of Solomon, 7 verse 13. And this is the X-rated stuff. God, just block your ears. Everybody is going to blush. There the mandrakes give off their fragrance. And the finest fruits. So she's taking him out to this place amongst the fragrance. It's beautiful. And she's going to give him her love. But there's something else she knows. The mandrakes are there. And they give off their fragrance. And the finest fruits are at our door. New delights as well as old, which I've saved for you, my lover. A mandrake. Who can remember the story about Rachel and Leah and the mandrakes? And Rachel wanted some mandrake plants. Why did she want those? She said, if you do that, I'll let you spend the night with our husband. Can you imagine sharing a husband in a food place? Must be terrible. But she says, I'll let you spend time with him. But I want some. Why were those mandrakes so precious? And I always wondered about them. I didn't understand, so I went and researched it. Mandrake has got intoxicating properties. Okay, it's got drug properties. It's got aphrodisiac properties, okay? It's a love drug, all right? And it has fertility properties because after Leah had been with him and she did have mandrakes, she felt pregnant, right? It speaks about incredible intimacy. Lord, I'm going to take you to a place, and I don't know how we do this, okay? I'm going to take you to a place where our love will be fertile, where an intimacy is. How on earth can I speak about the Lord like this? But he loves us that much. He wants us to have that kind of relationship. Not a disgusting, foul, promiscuous thing. A beautiful, wonderful, pleasurable, intimate, phenomenal encounter with the King of Kings. But I, in my life, you see, we expect God to make it possible for us to have that relationship with him. But he's saying, no, I want you to make it that I want to spend time with you. And she speaks about I will use the new and the old. So that which I've been doing, Lord, I'm serving you, I'm loving you, I'm desiring to be with you, I'm spending time. That's all old stuff. But we should always be looking for new ways to please the Lord. Now, none of us can earn His favor. It comes for free. Grace is free. Amen? But we can seek to please the Lord, can't we? We should be looking for new ways as we read the Word. In the same way with our spouses. We should be looking for new ways. Every now and again, I'll surprise Cheryl with something, or she'll surprise me with something. We should be the same with the Lord. We should be looking for ways to keep that love going, to keep our love for Him alive. And then we will find ourselves in a place where we're not at a place where the first love is dead, or where the door is closed. Amen. There's an account in Song of Songs, and I'm not going to go there, but where the lover came, but the door was latched, and she made excuses. She didn't want to get up. And when she finally did get up, He was gone. Let's not let it be like that with Jesus. Let's keep that door open. Let's always have ourselves ready for Him. Let's always want to be in His presence. Did you enjoy this message today? Amen. Amen. So let me just summarize it. Our Savior loves us beyond measure. We know that. In Romans 8, we read that nothing can separate us. Nothing whatsoever can separate us from His love. But we need to learn to love Him more and more and let that love grow sweeter every day. The 5 points. We need to only have eyes for Jesus. Remember, our love for anything else will stem out of loving Him with all of our hearts. We need to be captivated by His love. We need to see what He is and who He is and allow that to work in us so that we are captivated. We're just taken in by that love. We need to realize that He wants to be with us. We're not those bad people that aren't good enough for God's presence. He wants us to come to be with Him. If we realize that, we're going to naturally want to spend more time with Him. We need to realize that He sees us as beautiful. We're not vile, horrible, despicable. We wear the dress that He's given us, the robe of righteousness. We are beautiful in His sight. And then fifthly, we need to do our part. We need to look for the little ways that we can please God. You know, I can't earn forgiveness, but I can tell Jesus I love Him. Can you imagine how He responds when a child of God genuinely comes to Him and says, "Oh Lord, I worship You. I just want to sing some worship songs. I just want to reach out to You. I fall on my knees. Lord, I love You. You are my precious." You know, we can say that. Amen? So today the challenge is not this. I'm not challenging and saying, "Oh, you're a vile sinner and you need to renew your first love." I'm not telling you that your door is closed. Today I've said to you what it takes to allow that love relationship with Jesus Christ to grow. Who wants to be more in love with Jesus this morning? Amen. Let's stand. Josh, have you guys prepared that song? I'm going to close in prayer and I'm going to ask Josh to sing. When the song is done, you may leave. Please join us for some fellowship. But before I do that, with eyes closed and just quietly, before they start singing, let's just close our eyes. Is there anybody here this morning that does need to renew that first love? Is there anybody here this morning that has been walking in a religion and not a real relationship with Jesus? In other words, you're under the law. Really, because this relationship that I spoke to you about this morning, a gentle, tender, beautiful relationship, is not what you're experiencing. If there's somebody like that here this morning, with our eyes closed, let's just lift our hands. I want to pray for you. I see some hands going up. Are there any other hands? You don't have to be ashamed. Just keep your hand up. We're going to keep our eyes closed. Just keep your hand up. Lord, you see these hands. Father, I know in my own life, I decided that on a daily basis, or on a very regular basis, I'm going to renew this love relationship with you. I pray for each person that's raised their hand, that you will bring them from law, from ritual, from religion, into a place of beautiful covenant relationship, where they can sense your presence, and where they can fellowship you, and just absolutely be in love with you. I pray for each one that's raised their hand. I pray that the breakthrough will come. I thank you. I said it now. Lord, the moment we pray, you forgive us, you cleanse us, and you draw near to us. And I pray that that's exactly what will happen. And now, church, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I love you. And I want to continue loving you. I want this love to grow sweeter every day. Help me, Lord. Show me how to fall in love with you over and over and over. Let's start today. Let me know it in my heart and in my spirit. Let me go out of here so excited, my heart fluttering with love for you. And let this just be the beginning. In Jesus' name. Amen.